Jesus is the Savior of our soul this morning. Amen. Why don't you join me as we pray and we just welcome the presence of God in this place. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you for your love and your presence here. Lord, we thank you that we can come with brothers and sisters and you and worship your holy name, God. Lord, we ask you to just meet us in this place, God, as we offer up our worship and our praise and we cast our cares upon you, Lord. We know that you're here, and God, we just ask you to touch and meet every need, Lord, as we pour out our praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take just a moment. I was told 1 minute or less. Shake a few hands, slap a few high fives, and we're going to get right into it. You have 8 seconds left. Make it quick. All right. Waiting for the buzzer to go off now. We are glad that you guys are here. Glad that you are feeling talkative this morning and wanting to greet and love on each other. Hey, that's a great part about church, amen? Just being able to see each other, love each other. Now, Miss Kelly is a little sad because none of her friends are here, and she's got the front row all to herself, so she's going to have to pay extra close attention this morning, because she can't, you know. But yes, our missions team is on their way back from Denver this morning, and they left early, because I got a text from Addie super early, and we are excited, but continue to pray for them as they travel back. I'm sure we're going to have lots of stories to hear about all the awesome things that they've done this week, and super proud of them. But want to welcome you again this morning. If you are a guest this morning, we want to say thank you for being here. If you would take a moment, you can grab a card, fill that out. It's in the seat right there in the little pocket, and you can just give us a record of your attendance, and we're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. As far as announcements go this morning, I was told to tell you to read your bulletin. That's why we have those. No, there is always a lot of information in there, lots of stuff going on. We got the rest of the summer schedule kind of things coming up. A couple of high points in there do want to pay attention to. We've got Connect Groups coming up in September. And then also one major one, if you have a student that's going to be going to kids camp, that is not this week, but next week. So if you've got any last minute information, be paying attention, be talking to Pastor Chad, and he can give you an info pack and all the information that you need. But at this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. How many of you are blessed? Amen, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for all that you're doing in Noble. We thank you that all that you're doing around this nation and around the world. Lord, we just thank you that you are moving, that you are still God and you are still in control. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to worship you and our giving this morning, God. I pray that you would bless this offering, God. Help us to use it to reach the lost. And Lord, we just ask that you bless the giver this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as the offering bag passes, let's stand and go right into worship.
Oh God. the nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken. We trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. And we trust the name of Jesus. And you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Aren't you excited that he's victorious forevermore this morning? Morning for all that you've done, Lord. Jesus, that you came as a child, and you are as a baby, and you grew up as a man, and you gave it all and died on the cross for us. You just laid it all. And it was my sin, my guilt, my shame that you bore upon that cross, Father. And Lord, this, I just want to glorify you for that. I just want to praise you for that, for you are worthy of all of my praise and all of my worship. Thank you, Father. And oh Lord, you search me, and you know my way, even when I fail you.
shield my way. And your hand upholds me. And I know you love me. Yes, I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? And you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, and you tore the veil. You made a way. When you
aren't you grateful that he loves us this morning? And that he stands with us in every situation, that he's for us, not against us. For the Bible says if God is for us, then who can be against us? So constant, you're so loving and so true. moment, just thank God for all that he is to us and all that he has done in our lives. Lord, we just thank you this morning. Praise and glorify your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad that the Lord is for us? We're going to mention some prayer needs before we're seated and pray together. Larry Newell still recovering at home from surgery. He had a successful surgery, but let's just pray for him that the Lord would just touch him and heal this situation that he's got going on. Pray for our youth missions team as they're traveling back today, being led by birthday boy. Pastor Phil's 44 today, so we pray that he'll find his way home and lead all our kids home. So let's pray for that. Ronnie and Robin Boggs are in Kentucky for Robin's cousin's funeral. Let's remember them in prayer. RJ and Dorothy would like to thank the church for their support, for our support, for their time with their family and the passing of their grandson. So we just continue to lift up their family. Randy Brown, Cheryl told me, is in the hospital, in the heart hospital. He was taken on Friday night. They didn't let him leave, so they're running all kinds of tests. So we want to pray for Brother Randy that the Lord would just touch him and be with him. Some of you may remember the Witzke family. Leo and Pat Witzke attended here several years ago. Leo passed away a few days ago, and so I don't know any details on a service, but let's lift up Pat and the family. Robert Smith is not feeling well this morning, feeling pretty weak, so let's pray for Robert this morning. We all love Robert. We just want to pray the Lord touch him and minister to him. You have a need on your heart this morning? Let me see your hand. If you have something, God sees. God sees. Lord, we come to you today and we just pray, first of all, for every hand that's raised right now, every hand that representing a variety of situations, needs, problems, sicknesses, situations, Lord, we know that you can handle, and we just trust those to you right now. Father, we pray for Brother Larry as he continues to recover from surgery. I just pray that you would just take the situation that's happening with him and that you would just heal him and minister to him and strengthen him. We pray for the team as they travel back today from Denver. I pray for all three vans that you would just keep your hand upon the drivers and other drivers and let them arrive safely this evening. We thank you for Pastor Phil and today being his birthday. I pray that you just continue to bless and pour out your spirit upon him. We pray for Ronnie and Robin as they're in Kentucky. I just pray that you would just be with them as they're saying an earthly goodbye to this cousin that was so dear to Robin's heart. Lord, we just pray for their family. We pray, Father God, continue to pray for the Bird family. Continue to lift up of Rick and Dava, Lord, that you would just touch them and be with them, Lord, as they continue in their life to navigate without this precious son. Lord, touch Randy today. I pray, Lord, that they would find out. I know he's been having some issues, but I know that you already know how to take care of it. So, Lord, by divine healing or by medicine, Lord, we know that you can touch and get him well. So we just pray that they figure it out and that you would be with him. Lord, be with Leo's family today. We thank you for Leo Witzke. We just pray for Pat and all their family as they say an earthly goodbye to Leo. We thank you that he's in heaven today. Father, we pray for Brother Robert. We ask that you would just touch him and give him strength and health in his body, Lord, and just keep him, Father. Keep your hand upon him. He's such a dear, wonderful saint of the Lord, and we just lift him up to you. Just bless him and help him right now today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord. Let me just mention, I trust that many of you would consider, if you're not already a part of, being a part of our Wednesday night prayer meetings, Wednesday night services. We have youth and children's ministry going on, Roll Rangers, girls ministry, prayer meeting right here in the sanctuary. I believe is prayer is what's going to make the difference in our country. Prayer is what's going to make the difference in our world, in your family. And so we go through a time of worship. I bring a short message, and then we spend some time just praying. And so it's a wonderful time. I just would love to see you here if you're not already. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 7, Jeremiah 17, 7. The title of the message this morning is Hadassah's Hope, Our Hope. Hadassah's Hope, Our Hope. Jeremiah 17, 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can look into your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch and minister to every single person here in the service and watching online. I pray, God, that you would just meet every need. Lord, we just ask for your presence to touch and fill this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I've been reading the book written by our dear friend and former church family member, Renee Haley, about the life of Austin. It's called Tragedy Confronting the Unthinkable. How many of you have seen that book, or you heard of it, or maybe you've read it? I've just almost through it. I've got the like 2 or 3 chapters left to read, but I've been reading that book about the tragic story of Austin Haley and the inspiring book from the loss of their 5-year-old Austin, who would be celebrating, I believe, his 21st birthday coming up, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right. But Austin's favorite verse in the Bible was the verse that we just read, Jeremiah 17, 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. That was his favorite verse. This promise from God's word is both timeless and timely. It's timeless because the Lord never changes. His word never changes. And this makes this verse timeless for whatever generation that may read it from the word of God. It's timely because times and seasons change as well as circumstances. And so I feel this verse for the season that we are in is very timely. For us to understand that we can have confidence and hope and strength in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're living in some crazy days in our world that demand that we realize how blessed we are to trust in the Lord and base our hope and our confidence in Him. We need to realize that. We need to understand that our hope and our confidence is in the Lord in the days in which we live. Notice the following verse after the text, verse 8 says, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep down into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That's the result of people who trust in the Lord and put their confidence in Him. They will be like trees, strong and sturdy, and they put down their roots, and they are there by the river, and they're fruitful, and they produce a healthy abundance of fruit, and their leaves stay green. I'm glad as children of God, the river of God's presence, His grace and His strength flow for us so that we can put our roots down in that and we can be strong and healthy regardless of what's going on. Amen. The results of those who trust and continue to trust the Lord in their lives. With these thoughts in mind, I would like to turn our attention now to another story in the Old Testament. The title already alludes to that. Last week we looked at Rahab. This week, I want us to look at another lady and her cousin who both did just what Jeremiah 17, 7 says. They declared their hope and their trust in the Lord, and as a result, it saved not only their lives, but it saved the lives of all of Israel. Their names are Hadassah, better known as Esther, and her cousin who adopted her as a little girl when her parents died, named Mordecai. I would love to read this entire story to you, but for the sake of time, I won't do that. However, I will read bits and pieces and trust you to go home and read the entire book as well. So this is a spectacular example of two people who believed in the promise of Jeremiah 17:7. Their hope, their confidence, and their trust rested in the Lord. And that same hope, confidence, and trust must be our hope, confidence, and trust today as well. Hadassah's hope is our hope. So look with me, if you would, to the book of Esther, chapter number 1. Sorry, I had my place, my little tab, and I pulled it right off. Now I got to find it again. Esther, Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. I'm talking to myself. Is that okay? If I start answering myself, we have a problem, Houston. Esther. Also known as Hadassah. We're going to find out the result of the hope and the confidence that she had in the Lord. So let's see what happened in their lives and her cousins' lives and see what we can learn and apply to our lives. 7 points to the message this morning if you're taking notes. I know in Bible college they tell you not to have more than 3, at the most 4. But what do they know? Somebody asked a preacher one time about a good message. He goes, yeah, is a good message a good introduction and a good conclusion? He goes, yeah, as long as they're fairly close together. So hopefully it won't be too long today, even with 7 points. Point number 1 is a vast display. A vast display. Esther 1, first 4 verses. These events happened in the days of King Xerxes, who reigned over 127 provinces stretching from India to Ethiopia. At that time, Xerxes ruled his empire from his royal throne at the fortress of Susa. That is in modern-day Iran, if you're wondering. In the 3rd year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. He invited all the military officers of Persia and Media, as well as the princes and nobles of the provinces. The celebration lasted, get this, 180 days, a tremendous display of the opulent wealth of his empire and the pomp and splendor of his majesty. Wow, they had wealth by the handfuls. They had a 6-month party. How on earth do you party for 6 months? How do you have a banquet and a party that lasts for 180 days? Well, that's what they did. And then they had another banquet, and I didn't read it, but in verse 5 it says, when all that was over, when 180 days of feasting and partying and all was over, they had another banquet for all the people from the greatest to the least who were in the fortress of Susa. So they had another party even after 6 months. They got out the gold goblets. They drank limitless wine. They sat on golden couches and on marble floors and silver couches. And they had lots of lavish decorations, lavish and lush food that they enjoyed, all displaying the vast display of wealth of that empire. And after that was over, or at the same time, they also had a banquet when they had the second little banquet there. They had a banquet for the women. And it says in verse 9, I don't think I gave this to Kate, but at the same time, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. So they're just partying and showing this vast display of wealth that they had. Can I tell you this morning that all of man's wealth, power, and majesty is nothing compared to God's? Nothing. All the wealth and splendor of this world is just a drop in the bucket put up next to the God of the universe. This world can never compete and compare with what God already has and owns. So let me say this. Don't let the world's goods and gold rob you of eternal glory. Don't let what this world offers keep you out of what God has for you. Keep you out of church. Keep you out of the Word. Keep you out of your journey to heaven. Don't let this world's goods rob you of what God has in store for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Somebody pulled my next stop out here. Probably me. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And Luke chapter 12 and verse 21 says this, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. We need to have a rich relationship with God. We're all going to stand before God. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning that the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the Lord. Every single person that's ever lived and breathed on planet Earth will one day kneel and say, Jesus, you are Lord, regardless of who or what they believed while they lived. Don't let this world's wealth, this vast display, don't let it dazzle you too much that you take your eyes off of God. Secondly, we see a Vashti, I'm not really sure it's how it's pronounced, deposed, that's supposed to be deposed. I'm sorry. She was deposed from her throne, from her place. Look at back at Esther, chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. On the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits, because of the wine, he told the seven eunuchs who attended him, I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce these guys' names. I'll do my best. But Mahuman, Biztha, Harbana, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass to bring Queen Vashti to him with the royal crown on her head. He wanted the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. This made the king furious, and he burned with anger. He talks to his fellow advisors, and if you look down at verse 19, they come up with their solution. So if it please the king, we suggest that you issue a written decree, a law of the Persians and the Medes that cannot be revoked. It should order that Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of King Xerxes, and that the king should choose another queen more worthy than she. Wow. Because Queen Vashti refused to come and be glared at and gawked at, she was deposed and stripped of her position as queen. You know, men and women alike can make dangerous decisions and have crazy ideas and notions when God's Spirit is absent from their hearts and lives. When God's Spirit is not here, when there's no moral compass inside of a person, they can make crazy and stupid decisions. You look at some of the ridiculous ideas that go on in our world today, and I'm not going to go into them, but you know, because you're a smart group of people and you see the news just like I do of all the stuff that's being touted as wisdom these days. It's because there's a heart that's without God. Just like this king made a stupid decision to bring out his queen and let everybody glare at her and look at her, and she said no, and he loses it, gets rid of her because he was drunk and because of his pride. Because of a sinful heart, people are treated without honor and dignity from the womb to the tomb. Foolish and ridiculous ideas run rampant right into the hearts and minds of the most innocent, our children. They're even putting books in the library that give some of this hogwash that's being touted as new wisdom to our children these days. Man, I miss the days of Leave It to Beaver, don't you? I miss the days of Andy and Opie. I miss the United States that I grew up in. I miss it. Because all of a sudden we're getting all these crazy ideas that all of a sudden people think is just so cool. It's because of a heart without God. In order for there to be a strong moral fiber in the fabric of our country, there must be a sturdy and strong faith in God. Current King Xerxes' pride and intoxication led to a lady being humiliated and eventually to the potential downfall of Israel, which we'll see in a moment. Sin makes a sorry nation. But blessed is the nation whose what? Whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Yes, let us remember that God sees and God knows everything. Number three, we see a victory designed. Time to find a new queen. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. At that time, there was a Jewish man in the fortress of Susa whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin and was descended of Kish and Shimei. His family had been among those who, with King Jehoiakim of Judah, had been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This man had a very beautiful and lovely young cousin, Hadassah, who was also called Esther. When her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. As a result of the king's decree, Esther, along with many other young women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. He also assigned her 7 maids, especially chosen from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. God saw the future and began preparing the way for a great victory. God saw what was coming down the road. We haven't even seen it yet. But most of you know the story and you know. But we, in where we've read thus far, we know a queen got demoted and the wicked king is looking for another queen to put in her place. But the Lord sees the end from the beginning. And he knows all things. He makes a way and is in control, even if it doesn't seem like it. Aren't you thankful that the Lord knows how to make a way? Hadassah, Esther, had experienced a sorrowful journey already, for her parents had died when she was a little girl, and her cousin Mordecai adopted her and took her as her own, as his own, and raised her. And now she is hauled off. She first of all was a part of a group and that was taken from Israel and brought to Babylon in the exile. And now she's hauled off away from her cousin and taken to the king's harem, and not knowing what the future is going to hold. There's a lot of craziness going on in her life. Yet when we know the one who holds tomorrow, the future will take care of itself. Have you ever had craziness going on in your life? When you know who holds the future, you know it'll be okay. Esther 2, look at verse 16. Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter of the seventh year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. To celebrate the occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all his nobles. We're in this page, in this book a lot, aren't we? All these nobles. That was a joke. I'm sorry. It's no time to joke. To celebrate the occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all his nobles and officials, declaring a public holiday for the provinces, or for the provinces, and giving generous gifts to everyone. Even after all the young women had been transferred to the second harem and Mordecai had become a palace official, Esther continued to keep her family background and nationality a secret. She was still following Mordecai's directions, just as she did when she lived in his home. So she was Jewish. And he told her, just keep quiet about that here. You don't need to let everybody know that. And she followed his orders. That leads to number four, a vicious devise. A vicious devise. So she's the queen. She's been chosen. Now there's about to become a plot against her people. Esther chapter 3, verse 1. Sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hamadatha, the Agagite, over all the other nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All the king's officials would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by, for so the king had commanded. But Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" They spoke to him day after day, but still he refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, he was filled with rage. We're a lot of people with a lot of pride problems, huh? He had learned of Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the entire empire of Xerxes. Satan just don't like God's people, does he? Satan inspires Haman to be filled with rage and takes it out against God's people. So here we again, we see the sin of the human heart. Because of pride and prejudice in a wicked official named Haman, all the Jews' lives were now in jeopardy. Because once a law was signed into being, it's called the law of the Medes and the Persians. You didn't repeal it. It was never revoked. You couldn't undo it. It was called the law of the Medes and the Persians. Once it was signed into being, you didn't change it. And you know, Satan still uses tools of pride and prejudice today to separate and divide and promote hatred among different groups of people. No longer can people just agree to disagree or on issues. It turns out to out and out hatred and violence and vengeance. I don't understand that either. There was a day and a time when you could disagree with somebody and still be their friend. You might not see that same way politically or otherwise, but now in our society today, it's hatred. You are less than a human being if you disagree with me. And I hate you and I want to kill you. What in the world's happened to our country? And yet we see the same thing hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The same spirit here we see in our country in which we live today. Even the hatred of Haman still runs in the veins of people today against Israel. There are groups of people that just don't even want Israel to exist. We're going to blow Israel completely out of the world. We're living with a lot of viciousness in our society. And that is not good. But in the midst of all that, number five, we see a valiant devotion. Esther chapter 4, 1 through 3. When Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on burlap and ashes, and went out into the city, crying with a loud and bitter wail. He went as far as the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while wearing clothes of mourning. And as news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was a great mourning among the Jews. They fasted, wept, and wailed, and many people lay in burlap in ashes. You see, the decree had been made that on a certain day, on April the 7th, I believe it was, or the 12th, March the 7th, a year later, that every Jewish person would be killed. And that was a law of the Medes and Persians. When Mordecai gets the news and it's told that this is what's going to happen, that they're going to be killed and slaughtered and annihilated in a single day, that was to happen on March the 7th of the next year, and all the property of the Jews would be given to those who killed them. When they issue that decree everywhere, Mordecai learns of it, and he puts on sackcloth and ashes, and he goes about mourning. Mordecai and all the people learned of this decision to kill, and immediately they did the best thing they could do. They called upon God in fasting and prayer. I kind of think that's probably about the best thing we can do today, is call upon the Lord in fasting and prayer and saying, God, please heal our land again. Lord, heal our land. Lord, we're going to fast for the next 30 days for a turnaround in our land, in our community, in our church. Which, by the way, August 1, we're going to start a 30-day fast. I was going to put it in the bulletin this week, and I forgot. But August 1, that's in a couple of weeks, we're going to start a 30-day fast where you can pray and fast as the Lord leads you to pray for our nation. I believe we are that serious. If my people will humble themselves and pray. They called upon the Lord. And Queen Esther hears about it, wonders what's going on with her cousin. And he sends word to his cousin, the queen. And they talk back and forth. And then in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 4, we see her famous reply, which is probably the most quoted verses out of the book of Esther ever. Esther 4:13, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? He tells his cousin, if you remain quiet, if you don't do anything about the situation, don't think you're going to survive. But you have been put in this position. You have been made queen for this reason, for just this time. That is the purpose of you being chosen as the queen. If Friends, God is calling you and I as his children to be part of his plan to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, and to be concerned for the least, the last, and the lost of our community. For us to be concerned about our nation, for us to be concerned about not just our nation, but for all lost people. The Queen's response must be our response as well. And what did she do? After he sent her that reply, that reply, it says in verse 15, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. She says, I will go, and if I die, then I'll die. What a brave and valiant devotion to her people and to her call and to her God. If I die, I die. Because it was a possibility you could use your life if you went into the king's presence and he didn't call for you. Even his wife, if she were to go in and say, hey, king, what's up? I don't think she said it like that. If he didn't call for her, he could say, and she would die. But if he took his golden scepter and extended it toward her, then she could come in and present her request. Boy, people had some crazy laws back then, huh? So that's why she said, I need everybody to pray and fast for me for 3 days. No food, no drink. I'm going to get my maids that serve me to do that. Mordecai, you get all the Jews you can find to tell them for 3 days to pray and fast for me because I'm going to go see the king about this problem. And if I die, I die. And by the way, Hebrews says this. Hebrews 4:14 says this. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Listen to verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. My friends, we don't have to wait for a golden scepter extended our way. We don't have to be worried whether we're going to be accepted when we come to God. Because of the blood of Jesus, our golden scepter, we can come boldly to his throne and we can request his help in our time of need, in our generation, in this hour. We can request, God, help us. We need your help today, Lord. And he says, I am here. I will respond. Isn't that awesome? We can approach the throne with boldness, with confidence in our time of need. And they did that. They approached the throne of God so that she could approach the king. And of course, she went in. And she was accepted. The king said, what can I do for you? I'll give you half the kingdom. Tell me what's on your mind. And she says, well, I want you to come to a banquet. And they set up this banquet. And I want you to bring Haman too. And that leads to point 6, a vivid defense. get back to Esther here now. This is almost amusing how the Lord defended his people. At least I find it amusing. Chapter 6, verse 1. That night, the king had trouble sleeping. He had a case of insomnia. So he ordered an attendant to bring the book of the history of his reign so it could be read to him. I guess he thought if he hears about his reign and somebody reads him a book, he'll fall asleep. It's kind of like people, bring me a copy of Pastor Steve's sermon so I can go to sleep. Is that what you do at your house? Don't answer me. Bring the book of the history of my reign so it could be read to him. In those records, he discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who had guarded the door to the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate King Xerxes. What reward or recognition did we ever give Mordecai for this? The king asked. His attendants replied, nothing has been done for him. So here we go. We see God in action right here. A vivid defense that gets, as I said, almost humorous. A case of insomnia brought on by God, no less, sets up a vivid turning point in this whole plot of extinction. God turns the tables in a big way. Because blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Oh my goodness. Let's read it. It's so good. Verse 4. We stopped at 3, I believe. Who is that in the outer court? The king replied. As it happened, Haman had just arrived in the outer court of the palace to ask the king to impale Mordecai on the pole he had prepared. He'd prepared a 75-foot pole that he was going to impale Mordecai on. I don't know why it has to be so high. I mean, the guy's going to die. He could die on a 6-foot pole. You know, 75. He's full of pride. He's full of evil. He's full of wickedness, just like Satan is. So the attendants replied to the king, Haman is out in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. So Haman came in, and the king said, what should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me? And this is where one man's thinking one thing and the other man's thinking something else. It's hilarious. Haman thought to himself, whom would the king wish to honor more than me? So he replied, if the king wishes to honor someone, he should bring out one of the king's own royal robes as well as a horse that the king himself has ridden on, one with a royal emblem on its head. Let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials, and let him see that man whom the king wishes to honor is dressed in the king's robes and led through the city square on the king's horse. Have the officials shout as they go, this is what the king does for someone who he wishes to honor. Excellent, the king said to Haman. Quick, take the robes and my horse, and do just as you have said for Mordecai the Jew. Isn't that funny? You don't think so? I think it's funny. He's thinking it's all about him. But he wants to honor Mordecai for saving his life. And the Lord just arranges all this. Haman happens to be walking in as they're talking. And he has to lead Haman, or Haman has to lead Mordecai all through the town and shout and say, this is what happens to a man God honors. It says, so Haman took the robes and put them on Mordecai, placed him on the king's own horse, and led him through the city square shouting, this is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor. Afterward, Mordecai returned to the palace gate, but Haman hurried home, dejected and completely humiliated. Amen. And then he talks to his wife about it. And she says, "You're in trouble, buddy." I mean, that's my paraphrase. That's basically what she says. Go God, right? Go God. God set all this up. It's a great way that the Lord turns the tables on this plot. And that leads to the last point, a vigorous deliverance. Vigorous means strong, energetic, powerful, mighty, and dynamic. Esther 7 is these are the last verses we'll read. Like I said, this Esther is like 10 chapters long. I won't read it all. Just going to read these last 10 verses of Esther chapter 7. So King and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. On the second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom." Queen Esther replied, "If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could remain quiet, for that would be too trivial a matter to warrant disturbing the king." "Who would do such a thing?" King Xerxes demanded. "Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you?" Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy." Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. Then the king jumped to his feet in a rage and went out into the palace garden. Haman, however, stayed behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther, for he knew that the king intended to kill him. In despair, he fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining, just as the king was returning from the palace garden. The king exclaimed, "Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes?" And as soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Haman has set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall in his own courtyard. He intended to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination." "Then impale Haman on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. Wow. Amazing. Haman is done. Deliverance has come because Hadassah and her cousin, adoptive parent Mordecai, trusted in the Lord. God brought victory. One day God will bring total victory again, and I hope you are on his side, on his team, in his family. In conclusion, it may look like the Hamans of this world are winning, but they won't. Everybody say they won't. They won't. They're not going to win. God sees all. What do we take away from this sermon? Let me tell you four things you can take away from this message. Number one is God sees and God knows everything. We don't hide anything from God. They didn't then, we don't today. Number two, God invites us into his presence. As we said, he wants us to come boldly into his presence when we have a need. Number three, God makes a way. God will make a way when it seems there is no way. And last of all, number four, God wins. God wins. We win. Christ Jesus shed his blood to allow you to be on the winning side. To be on the winning team. All you have to do is repent of your sins and ask Christ into your heart. He lifts his scepter over to you and says, "Come to me. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on my son Jesus and confess Christ as Lord, and I will save you." I trust you've done that today. I hope so. If not, you can do that today. And for those of you that have already done that, my encouragement to you today through the word is have hope and confidence in the Lord. There is a lot of stuff going on in our country. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world. But we can keep our hope and our confidence and our trust in God, and we will be blessed if we do that, regardless of what comes down the pike. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know, Lord, that we win. That the child of God wins if they keep their hand and their confidence in you. They keep their hand in yours. If they trust you, Lord, and we know, Lord, that you will bring them through every trial, through every situation. Lord, I pray that you help us to be involved. Help us to be obedient. Help us to pray and to fast and to seek your face regarding our land, regarding souls, regarding the kingdom, regarding things that need to be done in this world and in the church. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The team is going to sing a song, altar call. If you would like prayer, and I'd just like to open these altars for any and everyone. I think it'd be a good time to fall on our faces before God and call out to him in behalf of what's happening. If you need the Lord for salvation, come find me. I'll be happy to pray for you and ask the Lord to help you to come to know him as Savior and Lord. Would you come? Stand with me together, if you would.
Sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, oh precious Jesus. My heart is
Lord Jesus, we can trust and look to you. Our confidence can be in you, our hope in you, Lord. We just want to be the people, Father God, that you've called us to be the voice in the wilderness, Lord, to be the light of the world, to be your hands extended in a world that needs you, in a world that needs to see Christian love and compassion in action, that needs to see faith and moral principles in action. Father God, let us be your people. God, let us make a difference. Let us be salt. Let us be light, we pray. Just as Esther and Mordecai were salt and light in their world, we praise you, God. Go with us now today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord.